This episode of Shameless is brought to you by Mejuri and their Diamond Week. Get 15% off their diamond collection.
And welcome to Shameless, the pop culture podcast for smart people who love dumb stuff. You're joined, as always, by Melbourne writers Michelle Andrews and Zara McDonald.
Hello, Zara McDonald, and hello, producer Eilish Gilligan.
Hello.
Last week before Belly comes back.
I know, we're going to miss you. Coming up on today's show, Brittany Snow indicates that her ex-husband did cheat on her. An explanation on everything happening between Diddy, the courts, and 50 Cent. Beyonce's Cowboy Carter absolutely smashes the charts. The viral essay that argues you should, in fact, marry an older man. Gypsy Rose Blanchard's marriage is over, but the press for Rebel Wilson's new book is far from it. There is so much going on.
This is a meaty, meaty little episode.
But first, Michelle, how was your week?
It was good. I got fooled by multiple April Fool's pranks.
Did you?
I am so dumb. I think I'm getting dumber the older I get.
Well, it's so funny because I saw these April Fool's things and I was like... Marketing's never been worse than on April Fool's Day.
No marketing got me, just plain old pranks got me.
Yeah.
One was Victoria Devine from She's on the Money posted that she was bringing out something called VicCoin, her own version of Bitcoin, and I went to screenshot it and be like, what the hell? And then I stopped myself to be like, wait a second.
But I think the fact that you stopped yourself means you're not getting dumber by the year.
Okay, well, I also very, very nearly spread an April Fool's joke far and wide. I even took this to the company Slack channel. I saw a tweet that said Dev Patel is due to star in the upcoming feature adaptation of Emily Henry's best-selling Enemies to Lovers rom-com novel, Book Lovers. Mm. I was so excited about this. Screenshot this, put it in the Slack and said, don't worry, Sahani, who normally manages our book club account. I will post this on our social media. Like, we must get this up ASAP. I cropped it, was in the Instagram app thinking of a caption and then went, do I actually know this to be true? And it was a fucking April Fool's again.
Well, this is the thing. It's like, have I been got again? you keep getting got. The thing is, I would have been tricked by that as well because that just didn't seem like a joke.
No, and also Dev Patel
is just the best.
Well, apart from Gillan McLachlan, I also said this to Mitch and he's like, do you just like long haircuts on men? Maybe I do. Maybe that's the connection.
Yeah, your weak spot is Dev Patel, so it's not your fault.
I do have a recommendation this week.
Hit me.
In keeping with the trend of Tortoise Media recommendations on Shameless Media, may I recommend another Tortoise Media production?
You absolutely may.
It's called Hoaxed. It is a series from 2022. I've been going through the Tortoise Media archives, and it is about the Hampstead hoax. It is more true crime from me, if anyone can tell.
What's happened in my true crime era.
I think I'm back on the true crime.
It's so random.
I used to find them anxiety inducing, but then I kind of worked through my problems with anxiety and now I'm back on true crime.
That's so great for you.
Yeah, I know. So Hampstead Hoax, it's actually called Hoax, the podcast, but I won't tell you much about it. You'll get all of the content warnings right up the top. I will tell you it's quite dark content, but it does center in again on this idea that in an internet age, we're living in a bit of a post-truth world.
Right. Mm.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it and then come talk to me about it if you've listened because I am desperate to talk to people about it. What about you, Zara McDonald? How are you? How was your week?
Big year for my celebrity spottings, guys.
What?
I just can't stop seeing famous people. It's
Who'd you
crazy.
See?
You know who I saw. You just you're in denial because you weren't there. So I need to paint the picture for the listeners. And now I'm literally gonna tell the listeners all throughout this year any celebrity I ever see. I am leaving work. And we work on a pretty dead streak, guys. Like, there's nothing going on. Mm-hmm. It's not a hot streak.
It's actually such a fugly street.
It's so fugly. And it's constantly got works and buildings and God knows what.
People have been known to walk down and go, what the fuck's wrong with this street?
It's just so good. And I'm walking out of work and I turn left out of the office And there is one, or there are two people on the road walking towards me. No one else. You know what? I'm going to go as far to say no one else in the kilometer vicinity, just for a bit of extra drama. And no one else around. And I'm walking towards this person and I'm like, is that Carlos Sainz?
Carlos Sainz. Eilish, who's that?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. This is a niche celebrity, but niche A-lister.
Niche A-lister.
Okay.
He just won the Formula One on the weekend.
Oh, okay.
And probably one of the biggest drivers in the world.
I thought you were going to say biggest hotties of the Grand Prix.
Well, he's definitely the hottest one as well.
He is so... He's just... If you could carve someone and be like, this man is a wonderful athlete and is like very commercial, that's what you would get, Carlos.
Easily.
Sainz.
So I'm walking towards them and I look up and I just stop. I stop walking and I stare at them and then I turn around because I think I've got to go find Michelle. So I turn around and run back to the office, knowing full well that like scientifically they're going to walk past before you can get down the stairs. And I am still, because I'm so frazzled, I'm walking back up the office and the whole time I'm like, do I ask for a photo? Do I ask for a photo? And then I remembered we have a policy, don't annoy celebrities. Just stare at them instead. So I'm at my door and I just turn around and I say, congratulations for the weekend. And he said, thank you. And then he ran up.
Was that your attempt at a Spanish accent?
Yeah. And then I ran up the stairs to try and find you. And I told everyone. And everyone was like, that didn't happen. And I was like, yes, it did. It absolutely happened. And then I get in the car and I call my dad. And I was like, I just saw Carlos Sainz. And he was like, did you get a photo? And I said, no. And he said, well, there are lots of men with brown hair in Melbourne. And I said, no one believes me. It was 100% him.
I would have believed you. I've never picked a worse time to take a wee.
I know. You're in the bathroom.
I was in the bathroom. I missed the whole thing. And then you called me on the way to your car. You're like, you fucking just missed out on the celebrity sighting of a lifetime.
I'm also here to change our policy. I don't think me staring at these celebrities is doing anything less annoying than me just going up and saying, hey, I'm so sorry, big fan. Do you mind if I take a really quick photo with you?
And dare I say,
I need to start doing it.
I think we need to officially, here and now, change the Shameless podcast rule. If we see a celebrity, we must get a photo with them. Otherwise, we can't talk about it. Because I also think the celebrities prefer it. I think it'd be a nicer experience to go, this person's taken a quick photo, the interaction's done, I move on with
my
life. That's
the thing, you've still got to be not annoying. You have to say, hey, I'm not here to interrupt. Just love your work. Quick photo, if you don't mind. And then out of there.
Do you remember when Justin Bieber announced that he was now going to charge fans for selfies?
No.
Because he was sick of taking
them. You know what this sounds like? Another April Fool's joke.
No. In 2015, I remember this. His management announced that he would be charging $2,000 per selfie. Because he was sick of taking selfies with fans.
I think Justin Bieber's like teetering with my pass basket most of the time, so I don't mind that, if I'm honest. A really quick recommendation for me. I have a newsletter to recommend. I've subscribed to it for a little while now, and I loved the edition that went out yesterday. It's Add to Wishlist by Otega Uwagba.
I love that name.
It's a shopping... It's basically a shopping fashion newsletter. Her latest... edition is basically 10 people she follows on Instagram that she finds really inspiring when it comes to fashion. She makes this note in the newsletter about it can be really hard to know who to follow online. And I feel this in my soul because if I'm following all these influencers or people who are buying stuff, I feel this compulsion to buy. And I want to be inspired without feeling a compulsion to buy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it
all
does.
The time. I don't want to be constantly buying stuff. The lists that she's included are stylists or whatever who can maybe hopefully inspire you to kind of pull in your own wardrobe and, I don't know, use the principles that they're using.
I love that.
So I loved it. And subscribe to her newsletter. She's amazing.
Obsessed with that. Shall we get into the quick and dirty?
Let's do it.
The quick and dirty. Quick and dirty is the top today.
Six
stories from the rough and tumble of the celebrity and pop culture news cycle. Zara will henceforth take selfies with celebrities McDonald's.
Yes.
What have you got for us?
My first story. Tyler Staniland reacts to Britney Snow's Call Her Daddy interview. I was never unfaithful. That is from Us Weekly. I'm very into this story. Because there's a lot going on in the world of Britney Snow this week.
There is. In case you missed it, the Pitch Perfect star went on Call Her Daddy to talk about the breakdown of her marriage to her ex-husband, the Selling OC star and former pro surfer. They married in March 2020. We've discussed them on the show before. They announced their split in September of 2022. So they've been married for about 2.5 years. And they had one of those like classic, we've never loved each other more celebrity divorce statements, which we said at the time. It also gave a shout out to their dog, Charlie, which I remember us having a little laugh at.
I remember that too, quite well. This doesn't feel like it was September 22. It feels like it was the end of last year. Now, what was interesting about their divorce and the reason we spoke about it is it actually came 21 days after season one of Selling the OC premiered. And according to People magazine at the time, Brittany wasn't stoked with Tyler's involvement in that show. I mean, if you need to be reminded, Tyler Staniland was at the center of a drama involving one of his co-stars, Kayla, who apparently attempted to kiss him more than once. It's not the kind of storylines you want your husband to be a part of.
No. According to TMZ back then, the split was mostly to do with distance.
We loved this fact at the time, I remember this.
Because Los Angeles and Orange County are a bit too far from each other. You know, they were living in separate places. However, a quick search on Google Maps will reveal the distance between each is 36 minutes. So it's like living where I live to work.
I was just about to say, it's like it's your work commute. Fast forward about 18 months and Brittany has done an interview and given us a few details. I've got a few snippets for you here because they are much better than any paraphrasing I could ever do. I am going to play you this one to start.
Your ex-husband went on a reality show and there was a situation with another woman that just played out and you had no idea what was happening until it aired for the world. What did you feel when you saw this play out for the world to see?
I was not aware of a lot of things. And I'll say that. So I will say what people think happened. Mm-hmm. I tried very hard to see it all from every side and release that anger because it doesn't serve me.
So there's that. Whatever people think happened. Let my imagination go wild.
I love that she worded it that way.
Yeah, 100%. I think if there's one thing you can glean from this interview with Brittany Snow is she's still quite diplomatic about the whole thing. I mean, whether you believe that people have to be diplomatic in these scenarios is a different conversation altogether. But she doesn't say a lot, but she does say it was like a really hard time. There was also this snippet that I really loved as well.
Did you know her?
Which one?
Well, any of them?
No.
Which one?
Now, I do think in fairness to Brittany and in fairness in sort of like talking about this episode, it's worth noting that she did say that there was love in this marriage, that she didn't regret the relationship. She loved the time they had together. She didn't regret being in a relationship with him. But she's also probably now not going to lie about why the relationship fell down, Mish.
Yes, exactly. For what it's worth, Tyler has rejected this. He wrote on Instagram, "Relationships are complex even without public attention and speculation. A mutual commitment was made, both personally and legally, to never speak about the complexities of my marriage publicly, and I plan to honor that." He went on, "I do, however, want to make it clear that I was never unfaithful in my marriage, and the accusations of infidelity couldn't be further from the truth. I will be making no further comments on this matter. I wish her nothing but the best."
Well.
Fascinating. A mutual commit was made to never speak about the complexities of my marriage.
Not our marriage. I don't want to do a language analysis on this.
But what are you kidding? That's what we specialize
in. It's my marriage. Well, it was two of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, two sides to every story, I guess.
I choose Brittany Snow's side.
All right. You haven't got a great track record this week, gullible Z's. Our second story. 50 Cent and ex-girlfriend Daphne Joy's accusations against each other and the connection to lawsuit against Diddy explained. That's from Forbes.
Yeah, guys, this segment deals with some very heavy material, including allegations of sexual assault and abuse. So take care while listening. Now, last week we made the decision not to cover the troubling headlines around Diddy. Transparently, the episode last week was already tackling quiet on set and some other dark topics. And we also wanted to see what might develop with the headlines about Diddy across the next week. And now we have quite a bit to unpack together. So let's start with Diddy. Of course, his real name is Sean Combs. If you hear us interchange between throughout this segment, That's who we're referring to. Last Monday, the billionaires' homes in Los Angeles and Miami were simultaneously raided by the Department of Homeland Security. This all played out on live television on CNN. They had rolling footage over Diddy's home, which they televised to the world. Diddy was not home when the raids happened. He was on his private jet, but there was footage of his associates being arrested, and a law enforcement source told CNN the search warrant raids were, and I quote, related to an ongoing sex trafficking investigation.
Yeah, it was really odd footage as well because you saw Diddy's sons in handcuffs. It came out after that they weren't formally arrested, but there was a lot of drama happening that was streamed and was put on the internet. Now, we don't know a lot about this. We do know for sure that it's been a very turbulent, to say the least, time for Diddy as far as litigation is concerned. Vulture literally published an article titled A Guide to the Many Lawsuits Against Diddy this week. We're going to give you a quick synopsis of the lawsuits that he's facing because there's a lot there, Mish.
Yeah, and this is all like aside from the raid we saw last week. Keep that in mind. This is everything going on in Diddy's world right now. So we have the lawsuit that was filed on November 23 when a woman named Liza Gardner accused Diddy and the singer Aaron Hall of raping her when she was only 16 years old. Diddy's camp denied those claims, calling them fabricated, bogus, and a money grab. We also told you last year about the claims from Diddy's ex-partner, the singer Cassie. She filed a federal complaint on November 16, accusing Diddy of sexual assault, battery, and trafficking. That particular suit was settled 11 days after it was filed. So that one is done. We also have one, Zara, from the 2nd of December last year.
Yeah, this one was from a Jane Doe who filed a lawsuit in Manhattan claiming she was raped and sex trafficked by Diddy and the former president of his record label, Bad Boys Records, a guy named Harve Pierre, when she was 17 years old. In a statement, Diddy said, "Let me be absolutely clear, I did not do any of the awful things being alleged." On the 2nd of February, a couple of months ago, a producer called Lil Rod filed a federal complaint against Diddy for allegedly being part of an illegal racketeering enterprise. Now, the producer claims he has irrefutable evidence of Diddy distributing drugs like ecstasy and cocaine and that he was involved in the solicitation of minors and sex workers.
So much going on. For the record, Diddy's lawyer called those claims ridiculous and denied them emphatically. So that's the legal stuff happening in the background. Then we had the raid. If you have seen 50 Cent's name in headlines alongside Diddy's, let's explain that as well. When it comes to that Lil Rod lawsuit, that last one that you mentioned, Zara, a woman named Daphne Joy was named. She was listed amongst several women who apparently accepted monthly payments to do sex work for Diddy.
Yeah, now Daphne Joy is 50 Cent's ex. She is the mother of his child. She denies that she ever worked as a sex worker. And I think it's at this point that it's probably helpful to know that 50 Cent and Diddy have been locked in like a decades-long feud. This feud is pretty long and pretty messy. But 50 Cent has accused Diddy of being behind the 1996 murder of Tupac. Authorities, we need to note, have not accused Diddy of any wrongdoing when it comes to Tupac. And Diddy has always denied that he had anything to do with the murder. But there's a lot that's been going on between these two for years as well.
Is the saying blood under the bridge? I feel like that is the perfect saying for the rift between these two. Like, things have also never been worse when it comes to their feud. In December, 50 Cent said his production company was going to spearhead a documentary into the allegations against his rival, with all proceeds going towards victims of sexual assault. So when it was suggested recently that 50 Cent's ex, Daphne, had been a regular sex worker for Diddy, again, she denies that, everything kicked off on social media. 50 Cent started posting some really troubling things on socials. He also filed a petition last week for sole legal custody of their son, which prompted Daphne to post a blistering statement accusing 50 Cent of being an absent father and of abusing her. She finished her statement with, "You have broken our hearts for the last and final time." It goes without saying, all of this is like so dark. It's hard to make sense of. And I think for me, bringing it back to Diddy for a second, It is wild to see some of the allegations against this man who has been an A-list celebrity for decades now. The fact he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
The stuff that's been alleged, whilst also knowing how, you know, prolific his music has been, how popular his work has been, how many A-list celebrities he fraternizes with. It's a very bleak picture to consider.
Yeah, very, very strange. It's really bizarre to read through the litany of lawsuits right now. I think it goes without saying that this is definitely not the last time I think we'll hear of this story. I think this is going to be developing over a long period of time, and we will keep you updated. Our third story, Gypsy Rose Blanchard announces separation from husband 3 months after prison release. That is from People magazine. Gypsy Rose Blanchard is single. She has announced that her and her husband are no longer. As I said in the headline, the breakup comes 3 months after she was released from prison after serving 8 years for plotting the murder of her mother. Now, we need to note here, we only know this because of a statement posted to her private Facebook account that was given to People.
Yeah, the private Facebook post apparently read, "People have been asking what is going on in my life. Unfortunately, my husband and I are going through a separation and I moved in with my parents. I have the support of my family and friends to help guide me through this. I am learning to listen to my heart. Right now, I need time to let myself find who I am."
Now, these two married in a ceremony in jail with no guests in July 2022, and they made a lot of headlines. I think the reason this is even something we're talking about is because they made a lot of headlines when Gypsy Rose left prison. They were quite open about their sex life, as is their prerogative. Our listeners might remember, do you remember Gypsy commented on one of
his
Instagram post, just saying the D is fire.
The full quote was, "They jealous because you are rocking my world every night. Yeah, I said it. The D is fire." I have said that to my husband.
I hope you haven't. As I said, everyone's prerogative to say the D is fire.
It's so diplomatic.
Now, we haven't mentioned this on the show, but Gypsy has actually deleted her Instagram and TikTok accounts. She has said that she doesn't want to live her life under the microscope anymore. It is also interesting because there were other reports from sources saying she deleted her accounts because of parole and wanting to protect her time out of prison. I don't know what to believe, but I do wonder now, without social media accounts and this high-profile marriage, if we actually won't hear from her much anymore. Like, I do wonder if this is one of the last times we'll hear about her.
Such a, like, explosion of fame. Like, she gained millions and millions of followers almost overnight. And I agree with Zara. A few months later, I think we're probably not going to hear much about her again.
Coming up after the break, we are going to talk about what's going on with Rebel Wilson's memoir and, of course, chat about Cowboy Carter. But first, a word from today's sponsor.
Zara, there's something really beautiful about celebrating the milestones in life, big or small. It reminds us to take a step back and recognize how far we've come and celebrate the moment.
Yeah, today's sponsor, Mejuri, is here to remind all of us that no matter what goals you're kicking, it's important to celebrate ourselves. Their Diamond Week is now live, so if you're looking to treat yourself, you can with 15% off all diamond jewelry.
So good. Mejuri believes fine jewelry can be worn every day. Their elevated designs make it easy for you to style pieces with any outfit and cherish them in your everyday life.
Their diamond collection, in particular, made with both natural and lab-grown diamonds, is expertly crafted with unique designs that make them stand out from the rest.
Yeah, the dedication Mejuri has to ethically sourcing all of their materials, including the diamonds, makes shopping all the more rewarding. You can feel confident in knowing your new favourite staple piece is made with care and consideration.
Mejuri's Diamond Week is live now, so head online to receive 15% off all diamond jewellery. If you have milestones coming up or just want to treat yourself, now is the time.
We both wear our Mejuri pieces every day, so cannot recommend them enough. Diamond Week is live until the 9th of April in the US, or if you're in Australia, until the 10th.
Yeah, thank you so much to Mejuri for making this episode of Shameless possible. Our fourth story, Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter breaks Spotify Amazon records. That is from the LA Times. What did you think about it, Eilish?
Oh my God.
Eilish revealed something to us as we were setting up the microphones for today's episode. Despite being the Shameless media music expert.
And our in-house pop star.
Our in-house pop star. Someone
has neglected Cowboy Carter over the long weekend.
Okay, okay. I said I have an excuse, I have a reason, and I'm going to be such a wanker about this.
Oh, this is even better.
The reason I haven't listened to it yet is because I want to sit down and listen to it from start to finish mm-hmm. with my headphones on and not be distracted. And it's a really long album.
Four days off work wasn't good enough.
No.
It is 79 minutes.
It's long. So long. I had a long drive
Same.
On the weekend and I listened to it all in one go. Great experience.
I was quite offended because I was in the car driving down the coast and I was with Ollie and I was like, let's put it on. And he was like, yeah, just, oh my God, make sure you don't shuffle it. And I was like, do I look like someone that would listen to a new album and shuffle it?
You uncultured swine.
I was like, oh my God, I feel attacked. So Eilish, do you have time in the diary or will you see how you go over the next week or two?
Well, I'm really slow with music. Like, I think a lot of people think that, I think you guys think that I'm like, that I'm like on top of everything and like listen to everything. I think my MO has always been like, listen, quality listening is better than quantity listening. Mm. So right now I'm still on the Hozier beat because Hozier just put out an EP like 2 weeks ago.
Of course I knew that.
And I'm still on that.
Okay.
And Beyonce is next on the list. I love Beyonce. I promise I am not neglecting her.
Beyonce can wait.
For the sake of culture, I think we should probably listen to the Hozier album. If anyone wants to know for the sake of culture as well, I did listen to Vampire Weekend's new EP that came out recently. Accidentally, and then I saw it had just come out, and I felt so proud of myself.
I was wondering why you put Vampire Week on this morning.
I was about to ask, who is that?
Vampire Week, and that's all right. Anyway, we need to get to Cowboy Carter because there is so much going on. It's Beyonce's eighth studio album. It's her foray into country music. As we said, it's a mammoth one, 27 tracks, 79 minutes. Spotify said it became the platform's most streamed album in a single day in 2024 so far. Amazon Music said in a statement posted to Instagram that Cowboy Carter makes Beyonce's biggest album debut on their platform. Cameos galore, Mish.
Cameos galore. And can I give a shout out to the whole concept of the album that it plays like a radio show? It's like Beyonce Radio Hour almost. And you have these radio announcer voices come in and introduce her like Willie Nelson. And it just gives it this epic vibe. We also, of course, have Dolly Parton. Miley Cyrus has collabed on a song, so has Post Malone. Beyonce covers Blackbird by the Beatles. She's one of the very few people under the sun to ever be given that kind of privilege. And she also does her spin on Jolene by Dolly Parton.
We will get to the spin on Jolene in a second. I just found the cover of Blackbird very special.
I loved it.
I really, really loved it.
I was about to be like, Eilish, what do you think?
I actually have a fun fact.
Yes.
You know, Paul McCartney has let Beyonce cover Blackbird and also Glee cover Blackbird.
A man with taste.
That's a feminist. If I've ever heard one.
That is girl power.
That is so funny. You know what? Power to you, Eilish. I don't mind that you've not listened to it. Now,
that's him saying for the girls and the gays.
Yeah, 100%. We obviously need to note that 10 days out from the release of this album, Beyonce wrote on Instagram about, I guess, what drove her to make it. She wrote, "This album has been over 5 years in the making. It was born out of an experience I had years ago where I did not feel welcomed, and it was very clear that I wasn't. But because of that experience, I did a deeper dive into the history of country music and studied our rich musical archive. It feels good to see how music can unite so many people around the world while also amplifying the voices of some of the people who have dedicated so much of their lives educating our musical history. The criticisms I faced when I first entered this genre forced me to propel past the limitations that were put on me. Act two is a result of challenging myself and taking my time to bend and blend genres together to create this body of work." Let's talk very quickly about the experience that she is speaking of. Many people, I think, very safely assume that she's talking about when she performed her song Daddy Lessons at the 2016 Country Music Awards with the Chicks, who would then the Dixie Chicks.
It was the subject of quite a bit of backlash. It was days out from the 2016 American election. There was a lot of tension in the air. The New York Times wrote about this at the time. In one piece, they quoted two commenters on Facebook that summed up why there was backlash. One read, "Why are you showing Beyonce and Dixie Chicks? One doesn't believe in America and our police force, while the other didn't support our president and veterans during war." Another added, "Neither a country and Beyonce could not be bothered to put some clothes on for the occasion."
Yeah, the criticism was layered for sure. I think you know that there was backlash that was pretty intense when the chief executive of the Country Music Association told the New York Times, "We stand by it," as in the Beyonce performance, as if there's any reason to not stand by it. She said, her name is Sarah Trehearne, "If the program moves people so much one way or another, I think we've had a successful show." I definitely wonder how a performer like Beyonce even feels about a statement like that as well. When you're the subject of that backlash, it's like, great, I'll be your pawn so people are talking about you. Now, I think it's pretty safe to assume, as I said, that this was the catalyst for her foray into country and to kind of deep dive the archive that is. Back to the album. Critics largely love it. I mean, I've tried to read as many reviews as I can so that I could say that statement, critics largely love it. And I think it's fair. The general vibe, I would say, is like 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
In the UK, The Times gave it 4 out of 5, praising it as a slick and starry Western epic with a sense of fun and adventure. I definitely sense the fun and adventure. The Guardian gave it the same, writing that she is impressively capable of doing whatever she wants. I mean, shock. US publications were pretty wholly positive. Washington Post, a definite notable exception, but we'll leave them out.
The Washington Post one. I did that funny thing of like listening to the whole album and being like, I think it's good. What do the experts think? Read all the 4 out of 5 star review ones and really agreed. The Washington Post one, the man who wrote that needs a little treat. He's so grumpy. He needs a sweet little treat and just a nap.
Oh, absolutely. Can I get your favorite songs?
Absolutely, you can. Yah Yah.
Yeah, Yah Yah is fun.
It's such a fun song. I didn't know what to expect. I think it even tells you at the beginning of the song it's about to be a fun
song. Which, no, I wouldn't endorse. Like, do don't tell.
It felt like, you know, when you're in like a TV live audience and they hold up things being like, clap, applaud. Yeah. It was like, this is fun. So I was like, is it? And then I was like, you know what? It really fucking is fun. So Yah Yah, I also really liked Bodyguard.
Bodyguard's my favorite. 10 out of 10. Eilish, I can't wait to hear what you think. You'll have to give us your review in 3 weeks. Even if it takes that long. I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff on there. And there's a real mix.
There is.
Like, there's a real mix of stuff. Let's talk about the cover of Jolene Mish.
Yeah, well, it wasn't so much a cover as it was like a reinterpretation of Jolene. It has new lyrics. It is definitely a twist. It also opens with a message from Dolly Parton herself, essentially blessing the like new iteration of Jolene. And that blessing includes this quote, "You know that hussy with the good hair you sang about? Reminding me of someone I knew back when, except she has flaming locks of auburn hair, bless her heart. Just a hair of a different colour, but it hurts just the same." So immediately putting it on the record to say, this is about Becky with the good hair. To the listeners who don't know what that means, I refuse to explain that whole thing. We've got a whole scandal series on Elevator Gate and Becky with the good hair. Please go listen to it if you're lost. Can we talk about Beyoncé's lyrics directed towards Becky with the good hair?
Yeah, because while Dolly was sort of pleading and begging in her OG, I shouldn't call it an OG version, it's just the version of Jolene that she wrote not to take her man, Beyoncé's definitely reads, it's a warning.
It's a
not
warning.
A pleading, it's a warning.
Well, it has the quote, "I'm warning you."
So yeah. It's a
warning. The lyrics read, "I'm warning you, don't come for my man. Don't take the chance because you think you can. There's 1,000 girls in every room that act as desperate as you do."
What a rhyme.
Hot take from me, I loved this album. I think 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 5 would be my review. I don't think this iteration of Jolene hit.
Boom.
I don't think it hits to go for the other woman from how many years ago, almost 10 years ago now, when you stayed with your husband. Like, the Becky with the good hair stuff is really tired to me, given Beyonce stayed with Jay-Z.
I don't think it's that deep.
I don't like there's 1,000 girls in every room that act as desperate as you do.
Don't make me deepen. I will say though, there's something about, I think, Dolly introing this and Dolly being the one that mentions, in quotes, the hussy with the good hair, that feels like protects Beyonce from it. And that I kind of love the synergy between the albums, and I love that she's covering this song from Dolly but has her own spin on it. And I don't know, it's probably inconsistent to other ways I feel about love, but I like this.
I will be really interested. We'll poll you guys about this on Your Say Friday. I'll be really interested to see the response. Do you care? Do you think this version hits? I always loved the twist that you're pleading with the other woman not to take your man, that it's not this kind of, like, dare I say, slightly anti-feminist thing to be like, you're a hussy, you're desperate, he's my man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. Like, probably. I think there's one point here we need to talk about before we move on, because we cannot finish this chat without touching on the album of the year chatter. The fact that Beyonce has the most Grammys of all time but's never won album of the year despite being nominated 4 times has been the topic of conversation in recent years. Of course, we had Jay-Z taking the stage at the Grammys this year, accepting like a Global Impact Award. And he took them to task, didn't he? He said, I don't want to embarrass this young lady, but she has more Grammys than everyone and never won Album of the Year. So even by your own metrics, that doesn't work.
Beyonce addressed it in her song, Sweet Honey Buckin'. Midway through, she rapped, AOTY, of course, stands for Album of the Year. I ain't win. I ain't stunting about them. Take that shit on the chin. Come back and fuck up the pen. It will be so interesting to see what happens at next year's Grammys. Of course, she's going to have a huge contingent of people behind her. And rightly so, it's a fucking banger album.
There's a lot of people that don't like this, which I find really interesting because I think it speaks so much to how we like people to be quiet all the time, especially when they feel like they've been wronged in these kinds of capacities. And we find it, there's something I think the internet finds a bit crass about being like, I haven't fucking won it and I want to.
Old mate from the Washington Post hated this.
Yeah, exactly.
He was so grumpy about this.
I think that says it all. Our fifth story, the case for marrying an older man. A woman's life is all work and little rest. An age gap relationship can help.
I'm so excited.
That's from The Cut. Michelle, I know you read this. I've read this. Eilish, did you read this?
I have read this.
Great. Can't wait to talk about it. Take it away, Mish.
There is so much chatter online about this essay. It was written by Grazie Sofia Christie. Now, I want to be transparent with the listeners. We always look up pronunciation on people's names when we haven't spoken about them on the podcast before. This writer is not super well known, doesn't have a massive profile. We can't find how her first name is pronounced. So we'll refer to her as Christie, her surname, for the rest of the segment.
Yes. Now, this piece, Mish, as you said, worked people up. It went live last week. Before we tell you why it worked people up, we need to kind of lay it out to you. There's a lot going on. But the gist of it is that Christy says she won the life lottery because she is in an age gap marriage. She says, he is 10 years older than I am. I chose him on purpose, not by chance. As far as life decisions go, on balance, I recommend it.
Yes. Now we begin the portion of the segment where we read out slabs of text to you all so that we can all get on the same page.
Yeah. Why don't you start for us?
Here's one passage that was doing the rounds on Twitter. When I was 20 and a junior at Harvard College, a series of great ironies began to mock me. I could study all I wanted, prove myself as exceptional as I liked, and still my fiercest advantage remained so universal it deflated my other plans. My youth, the newness of my face and body, compellingly effortless, cruelly fleeting. I shared it with the average idle young woman shrugging down the street. The thought, when it descended on me, jolted my perspective, the way a falling leaf can make you look up. I could diligently craft an ideal existence over years and years of sleepless nights and industry, or I could just marry it early.
She said, I had high breasts, most of my eggs, plausible deniability when it came to purity, a flush ponytail, a pep in my step that had yet to run out. Apologies to progress, but older men still desired those things. She went on, I could not understand why my female classmates did not join me, given their intelligence. Each time I reconsidered the project, it struck me as more reasonable. Why ignore our youth when it amounted to a superpower? I'd have disliked being called calculating, but I had, like all women, a calculator in my head. I thought it silly to ignore its answers when they pointed to an unfairness for which we really ought to have been preparing.
Now, zoom forward to the end of the piece. And as you said at the top, Zara, the writer married a man 10 years her senior. They married when she was 23 and he was 33. At the moment, they are 27 and 37. That was surprising to me because I think to write a whole piece about the case of marrying an older man, sure, like he was 33 when you got married and you were 23, and 10 years is a decent age gap. But I kind of expected, like the way it was written, I thought he was going to be like...
I thought he was like going to be 70.
I thought he was going to be like 45 plus, and he wasn't, which I found interesting. She says, though, that marrying him and marrying older has kind of been the key to her happiness. Too much work had left my husband by 30, jaded and uninspired. He'd burned out, but I could re-enchant things. I danced at restaurants when they played a song I liked. I turned grocery shopping into an adventure, pleased by what I provided. She went on, my husband isn't my partner. He's my mentor, my lover, and only in certain contexts, my friend. I'll never forget it, how he showed me around our first place like he was introducing me to myself. This is the wine you'll drink, where you'll keep your clothes. We vacation here. This is the other language we'll speak. You'll learn it. And I did.
Okay. So I think that sufficiently gets people on the same page. And as we said, this writer is very happy with the relationship. I found the piece a bit odd. I'm not going to lie. I think I also found it odd because I disagreed with such an early premise that the rest of the piece was never going to stand up to me.
Yeah.
And that premise was about youth being a superpower and this idea that she wanted to marry older because she didn't want to have to kind of, my understanding anyway from reading the piece, which felt a bit hard to kind of, you know, zero in on, was that she also didn't want to be around a guy in his 20s who's trying to like work out his life and work out who he is and, you know, still rely on his mother, I guess. But the thing is, youth is only a superpower if you're trying to attract the very specific type of person that she's trying to attract, which is an older man who has been through his 20s. She's also assuming that every man in his 20s is pathetic, which is kind of funny.
She also, at one point, I didn't include this, she kind of exposes her own brother as being pathetic and then says that, like, his girlfriend could do so much better because he doesn't know how to be an adult yet. And I was reading it being like, I think this is more about your brother than just men in their 20s. Like, of course, don't get me wrong, some can be so immature. But I think also looking at my loved ones and my friends, immaturity in people isn't all that tied to chronological age.
No, God, not at all. And I think the other thing about youth being a superpower here that I find really interesting is that, like, I never consider the youth that I had in my early 20s, my superpower. I think it was like my great old weakness. I consider myself far more valuable as I get older. And I think what this writer's done as she's written this piece is said, well, society values women most in their early 20s, which may be true on like some sort of great amorphous level. But I actually think person to person, we value people more as they get older because they have so much more value, which is not to say young people shouldn't be valued. It's just that, like, I don't know if youth is the superpower we need to pretend it is.
No, I also think, like, this piece was written masquerading as if it was a piece about youth and age gaps. The reality of it, though, is I don't think it's about those two things much at all. I think it's about pretty privilege and wealth.
Yeah.
The whole idea of, she even says, like, my female classmates didn't join me and that was baffling despite their intelligence. Like, if you're an intelligent woman, why aren't you using this? Not all women can use that. Like, that is a pretty privileged thing that you can use your looks to get a certain place in life, to marry older. And also, we're not talking about age gaps. We're talking about her marrying into a wealthy family. She talks about moving to Europe and, like, everything being provided for. Look outside at the average 30-year-old man. Does he have financial stability in today's day and age? Fuck no.
I don't think the average 30-year-old man still yet knows his wines from each other to tell his fresh partner what to drink. Eilish, what did you think?
I had so many thoughts about this. I think the overwhelming one, well, first of all, the overwhelming one is that the cut is just absolutely slaying at the moment. The second one was, I think this person has fallen into a very easy to fall into trap when you're writing a personal essay like this, where they've taken their own personal experience with admittedly one man and one brother and being like, oh, well, this is how it is in society. And it's so frustrating to read as somebody who's gone through her 20s and now entered her 30s and watched, you know, women around me partner up and break up and whatever. Mm. And it's like, this is just not what it's like.
Well, it's like, it doesn't feel realistic in my life whatsoever.
No.
Well, she also has like a whole tangent about how having babies is going to be easier for her because her partner will be so much more supportive. And I'm like, I just don't know if I buy that the husband who's like, so you'll drink this and you'll vacation here and by the way, learn this language, is going to be the perfect co-parent as well. Like, I don't know. I just found so much of this piece didn't really hold up and I'm not surprised that it copped the criticism.
Me too. Our sixth and final story. Rebel Wilson reckons Adele hates her because people used to confuse them for one another. That is from Pedestrian. Oh my God, another week, another Rebel Wilson memoir story. This book is going to be flying off the shelves if it's ever able to hit the shelves. The thing I find interesting about this, just quickly, because last week we spoke about Rebel Wilson and the feud between Sacha Baron Cohen, which actually does have some updates, which we'll speak to, is this book is meant to sort of be out in the world.
Oh, yeah. We said last week it was supposed to be out on Tuesday. It's
yes.
Now Wednesday.
Rebel is still announcing it as if it's out in the world, but it's not on any Australian book site. It's been taken down.
I'm looking on Booktopia and it's the page you're trying to access no longer exists.
It's on all of the Australian book sites. So I don't know if there's something specific in Australia what's happened. I'm quite confused about it, to be honest. It's definitely like Rebel posted 7 hours ago at the time of recording. Rebel Rising is out today. Grab a copy at your local Barnes and Noble. So it's out in the US.
Wow.
But you can't get your hands on it here. Anyway, let's talk quickly about what's happened in the last week because everybody is talking about this book. As we said, Sacha Baron Cohen is not happy with the Rebel Wilson memoir. Rebel Wilson exposed him as, and I quote, the biggest asshole she's ever worked with. Sacha Baron Cohen came out and denied a lot of the things that Rebel was accusing him of. A couple of days ago, the Daily Mail published footage, like iPhone grainy footage from the set of Grimsby that purported to show what they said was Rebel consenting to some of the actions she said she was pressured into. Mm. I mean, I've watched the video.
Same.
I've read the articles. I can't really see how this absolves anyone of anything because you get a snippet of anything in time. You don't see the prelude. You don't see the after. You don't see how somebody feels. Mm. I don't think this video is doing what Sasha's team maybe thinks it's doing.
I just find the whole thing confusing.
It's like, deeply confusing.
So confused.
And Rebel's kind of, you know, doubled down. She's hit back at whoever has leaked that video. She also said to the Times, it is one thing for someone who is fat to exploit their size for comedy, but it's another for somebody else to humiliate you. Mm. She didn't name him in that story, but I think, yeah, it's very obvious she's talking about the tensions that happened on that set and around this book. It is not, Mish, the only story. There's more stories about this book that hit headlines too.
Yeah, late last week, it was revealed via People magazine that in this memoir, Rebel Wilson shares that she lost her virginity at the age of 35. If sharing her story, she told the publication, people can wait till they're ready or wait till they're a bit more mature. And I think that could be a positive message. You obviously don't have to wait until you're in your 30s like me, but you shouldn't feel pressure as a young person. I have a huge amount of respect for her sharing this story. It is something we very, very rarely hear about of, you know, people reaching their mid-30s and having sex for the first time. I think to put her face and name to it as a really popular celebrity, I just think it removes a lot of the shame and stigma.
So much shame.
For a lot of people.
I think sex generally, you know, carries so much shame in so many different forms. Mm-hmm. And I think anybody who wants to come out and say, my story doesn't look like the stories you usually hear, is amazing because you would have known it would have created headlines and it will become a story. And that's, at the end of the day, what she wanted.
I love that part. I don't love the next one.
Okay. Let's talk about the next one because we have a story about Adele that broke at the end of last week where Rebel said via her book, reportedly, that she doesn't think Adele likes her very much. Now, this came from a report from In Touch Weekly that said in her book, Rebel wrote this. Some actresses would get offended if I called them plus size in this book, so I have to be careful with what I say. This is why I think Adele hates me. There was a moment when she was bigger and some people would confuse us for one another. I am assuming, because to be fair, I've never asked her.
Rebel apparently said there were a few events where she and Adele crossed paths. And that she apparently said Adele always quickly turns away when she approaches her. She went on, as if my fatness might rub off on her if I were near her for more than 30 seconds, that she didn't like being compared to Fat Amy, of course referring to one of Rebel Wilson's popular characters. I am so confused. For a woman that, like, she's never asked about this.
Yeah.
How you can then put Adele in your book, use her name. I think it is so unfair. Moments like this are so unfair for you to make such a sweeping assumption and then put it in your book knowing it will get headlines and sell copies when you haven't even had the decency to ask the person directly if you're assuming.
Well, that's the thing for me is with a story like this, you can kind of hide and say, oh, but I did say that I'm assuming. Like I did say yeah. I'm assuming, but it's like you also do know how the media works and the media will grab the Adele name and run with it. It reminded me a lot, Eilish, you'll love this, of RuPaul's memoir. If you haven't seen, we actually reviewed RuPaul's new memoir on our book club. And honestly, you should listen to the episode. I don't think you need to read the book at all. Michelle, you haven't read the book.
The episode. Have zero plans to read the book.
Yes. And RuPaul has this anecdote in the book of how Madonna looked at him the wrong way and then he had like two pages. And I swear, Eilish, I'm not exaggerating. It was a look. It was one look that he extrapolated all this grand, broad meaning for two pages about how Madonna hates him and how Madonna's the worst person to ever work for. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe the look was mean. I don't know. But I don't know if you can extrapolate that much meaning and put it in a book that everyone's going to read.
It's just a dick move. We can like twist this, mash it up in a million different ways. It is a dick move to put someone's name in your memoir who in both these cases, the person is more famous than the person writing the book, right? I'm not saying Rebel Wilson, very famous. RuPaul, very, very famous. However, we've then got the level of Madonna and Adele. I just think it's shit. It's shit to pull someone more famous than you into your book and say you've got a feud when you've never even shared two words with them. Justice for Adele and Madonna.
Yeah. Guys, you know what? That is all we've got time for today. Eilish Gilligan, thank you for joining us these last few weeks. It's been 4 weeks in a row, hasn't it?
It has.
What a joy. In the meantime, where can people find you?
I host Stranger Than Fiction and there's a new episode on Tuesday.
Yay, exciting.
You're also on the book club. Go listen to that episode about RuPaul.
Well, actually, yeah, Eilish carried that book club episode. She's not just she's our music expert, but she's also our RuPaul expert in-house. Thank God for you. This episode was edited by you and I, Mish, today, Michelle Andrews and Zara McDonald. We are on Instagram at Shameless Podcast, on TikTok at Shameless_podcast. That's all from us. Anything to add?
Love ya.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. See you next week.
Shameless Media.
This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Oh, hi, it's Annabelle Lee and Louis Hansen here. We are your hosts of Everybody Has a Secret.
Woo!
Woo! We are here essentially just to let you know that we drop episodes every week now. Every damn Friday morning, we are in your ears.
That is so exciting. What a time to be in your ear holes. So essentially, each episode, we unpack the real life secrets of our listeners. So this is for everyone who loves, you know, just a little bit of gossip in their lives, which, let's be real, Annabelle, is all of us.
It's absolutely all of us. Don't lie. You all love gossip. So if you want to listen to our show, please do head to your favourite podcast app and listen now.
See you there.
Bye.